The Offside Rule, We Get It, is brought to you by Continental Tires.
Hello and a very warm welcome to The Offside Rule, We Get It. The noise you can hear in the background, and it will get louder as it is doing now, is the crowd here at Dulwich Hamlet FC. Myself, Kate Borsay, joined by Lindsay Hooper and by Hayley McQueen, supported by Continental Tires, getting you to the game safely. Hello, good evening, girls.
Hello. Well, we said, didn't we? We featured this as a topic, Hipster United. We said that we would come and take in a game, and we've stuck to our word.
We certainly have. They, by the way, don't like the Hipster United.
They're
left-wing, little bit bourgeoisie for that. Hayley, hello.
You said a warm welcome. It's really cold. Where's this Indian summer we were promised on this lovely September night? But actually, I'm loving it because not only are there sort of organic food and drinks on offer, there's an actual bar. The stand is pretty cool. I'm loving the architecture, and I'm loving the 100% grass-fed British beef burgers as well.
Can I also point out that Dulwich Hamlets are playing Hampton and Richmond tonight, and it's my mission to try and get myself on that bus on the way back so I can get a lift home.
It's the second time that they've played Hampton and Richmond Borough actually in the last couple of weeks. They played them in the FA Cup a couple of weeks ago, 1-1-0, so I've got high hopes for Dulwich Hamlet again this evening. By the way, Dulwich Hamlet playing in the Isthmian Premier Division. That means you can take beer around the pitch, as Hayley McQueen's pointed out. We like this club already. The starting whistle has sounded. So the play is in action at the moment, just behind us as we speak. And we're doing a bit of filming as well today. So check us out in a few days' time, and you may be able to see some exclusive behind-the-scenes footage from today's game as well. Well, what's coming up on the podcast today? Well, all excitement and, of course, a non-league theme. We're not just here to support Dulwich Hamlet and the Hipster United tag, checking that out. We're also here to flag up that it's non-league day in a few weeks' time as well. All sorts of initiatives going on, including at this club, ahead of that. In today's show, let's have a little chat, shall we, about charitable stuff and raising money for your club. This is on the back of non-league day coming up in a few days' time. Was that a good attempt on goal, Lindsay Hooper? I hope you're keeping your commentary eyes across this.
Yes, I am. It was actually blocked, that shot, so it's now a corner kick to the opposition, though, I'm afraid. So the home crowd, you can hear, are getting quite irate, trying to put them off.
I hope there's no naughty words directed towards the referee,
ladies. We apologise for any in advance if you hear any in the background. By the way,
Dulwich Hamlet playing in blue and pink behind us now.
Who did Hayley think that this goalkeeper looked like?
He looks like Carlo Nash. He's very tall, he's blonde, it's sort of physically, facially, he looks a little bit like Nash.
He looks like a giant amongst boys, doesn't he?
He actually was playing in lower league football, and he actually worked as a car phone salesman. He worked for Orange up until about the age of 20 before he got into professional football. So there you go. Got to a little bit late. There you go.
To backtrack a week, did he make more money from the car phone warehouse than he did?
Stop trying to shoehorn in that topic. If anyone listened last week, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. So loads of initiatives then to get punters to game, especially in the non-league. Pay what you like, etc. I want to broaden the discussion though, ladies. So give me a couple of ingenious, ridiculous or worthy examples of a club supporting their local community, a charity, or just trying to increase their gate. Any club, any league for that one. We're also going to be speaking Fame Game as well. So this is directed towards players who've made their name in the upper leagues, Premier League, Championship, etc., who are now plying their trade in some way, shape or form down the lower leagues in non-league or conference football. We're also going to hear from Sue Smith as well in this podcast, and we're hoping to snatch a player interview later on. Myself and Lindsay will be here at full time in the bar with the players. Oh, yes.
What, you said in the bath? I was like, this sounds brilliant.
I'd never have a bath after a game because it's going to be an ice bath, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's true, to be fair.
The female take on football.
Should we leap into topic one?
We can.
Let's talk about stars of the past. Still big names, perhaps, plying their trade in non-league football at the moment. Hayley, I'm going to turn to you for a bit of wisdom on this one.
OK, well, I'm going to tell you about a manager who's decided to give up some of his spare time and dedicate it to the Football Foundation. I wanted to shine the spotlight on the Football Foundation because I've just started working with them in a sort of ambassadorial role, going along to some events and helping promote the work that they do in a kind of volunteers role. And that is what Chris Powell's doing as well, formerly of Charlton. Made his way through the leagues, of course, having played for Charlton as well. And he's now the Huddersfield Town manager. But he has given up his time. He doesn't get paid for this either, to make sure that he gives back for the Football Foundation. So the foundation competition itself, if you don't know about it, very much championing grassroots football, making sure that they start from the bottom, work their way up to produce wonderful talent for the English national side for many years to come. It develops better sports facilities with the money, too rightly, from the Premier League, the FA and the government as well via Sport England. I think it's really important that the Premier League, that is such a rich league, gives back down to the lower leagues, and that the rich managers give back with their time to the lower leagues as well, which is exactly what Chris Powell is doing. So since it launched in 2000, believe it or not, the foundation has awarded around 13,000 grants worth more than £530 million towards improving grassroots football.
That's a lot of cash, and well done to them as well, because we all know how sort of Sport England backed out of grassroots funding. McDonald's got involved in that as well, of course. Good to see so many people still insistent on doing a lot.
Yeah, and Aaron Ramsey as well gives up his time linking up with McDonald's, again completely unpaid, going along to meet kids and go to schools across Wales to promote sort of the grassroots level in the leagues in Wales. But Chris Powell said, you know, investing in more quality community sports facilities means that more people get to enjoy the benefits of playing regular sport purely for the love of it. So he's delighted to become an ambassador. I would like to see more Premier League managers getting involved with the Football Foundation. They do have an awful lot of ambassadors out there. But yeah, so I know Chris Powell isn't plying his trade currently at grassroots football at that level, but he is giving back, and he's giving back with his time, even though he's still in full-time management. Well, hopefully he is by the time this podcast goes out.
Well, you can tell the old left-wingness has reached our Hayley McQueen. She's jumped on a soapbox. She's standing up for every man and soul in football from the bottom all the way up. Well done, Hayley McQueen. Lindsay, I expect something far more fatuous from you, please.
I'm not going to disappoint because I'm taking it the other extreme. In fact, I'm going to start with Lee Hughes. So we can't get much more the other end. But he is a player that rose through the ranks through non-league all the way to being a £5 million striker for Coventry City that went all the way back down. And he is now playing for Worcester City. It's the stadium actually where he started his career, because they play at the same ground where Kidderminster Harriers play. So he's actually back at the stadium where he was around 20 years ago. Oh, they so nearly scored. Hampton and Richmond Borough nearly took the lead. So let's get back to Lee Hughes then. Well, he's a player that we'll know from his time at West Brom, Coventry, Port Vale, amongst some of the clubs that he played at. But he now is playing in the National League North, aged 39 years
old. Good on him. Good on him indeed.
He began this season with the Northern Premier League side Ilkeston Town as well. So he's not just part of Worcester City. He's been in non-league football for a while.
He?
He's a journeyman, yeah.
Well, here's a player you'll know very well, Miss Hayley McQueen. Julio Arca, isn't it?
Oh, Julio.
You can say it a lot better than I, and I know Lindsay can second me on this one. Forced to retire at the age of 33, was it, because of a toe injury. Now he pays his £3.50 subs a week, goes through the warm-up to turn out for a non-league side. Yes, he is now plying his trade for Willow Pond. It was all part of a discussion in the pub, basically.
Sounds nice and leafy, Willow Pond.
He realised that he was missing the game after retiring, and a mate of his who'd kept asking him to play for the pub team throughout the years finally said, look, come on, mate, you're not playing now. It's time to turn out for us. And turn out he does. Apparently gets a pint if he wins Player of the Match award. So I'm assuming that's probably a pint every game. Was planning to return to Argentina this year. So whether he's still there or not, I have no idea. Steve Harmison, this is where cricketing names enter non-league football. Lindsay's throwing me a dubious look here. She's like, what are you saying? Well, Steve Harmison has decided that it would be a great idea for him to manage Ashington.
Yes. I thought you were going to say playing, and I was thinking, I don't recall this.
Ashington FC is where Steve Harmison, it's all heating up in the background, by the way. So Steve Harmison managing at Ashington FC at the moment. He said he went for a selector's job, but it went to Angus Fraser instead, so he decided to give non-league football a go. His younger brother James is a centre-back for the club, and his dad Jimmy is a former Ashington boss, so he's keeping it in the family. £90 for a season ticket there, ladies, if you fancy it. Hayley, another one from you.
I've got a little list here of some big names and who they played for, because I was quite surprised. We know a few of the big names. What about we start with Les Ferdinand, Southall FC. I didn't realise he'd started at real lower levels. So there you go, Sir Les. Stuart Pearce. Did you know this? Stuart Pearce first signed as a professional in 1983. He was bought from non-league side Weldstone. to top flight outfit Coventry City, and he'd been playing there for a good few years. He wasn't just some young, you know, 13-year-old who was snapped up by an academy, but it was, of course, Brian Clough. Oh, there's been a goal! Just as I mentioned, Brian Clough, a goal goes in.
Dulwich Hamlet tonight, it's gone to the wrong side. It'd been threatening for a while, hadn't it, Lindsay? But finally, Hampton and Richmond Borough have broken the deadlock. 1-0 to them.
Lovely through ball. He was onside, I can tell you just from my eagle eye here. A one-on-one with the keeper. Very calm, collected, smoothly stroked into the back of the net. There you go, 1-0.
I was completely put off by that. I didn't even see it. So I'm glad I got a bit of commentary there. I'm sure you'll see the action. We'll find it online at some point. I mentioned Willesden FC that Stuart Pearce came from. Well, they also produced Vinnie Jones as well. Yeah, he was playing for the non-league side. Not only was he a part-time footballer, he was also a hod carrier, whatever that is. There you go. Stan Collymore started out at Stafford Rangers. That's right. And we also have Kevin Phillips at Baldock Town. It's another team who's produced quite a few big-name players as well. So just a couple of people who've played non-league, made their way up. One of them still playing right now, Charlie Austin.
Clever McQueen there, twisting the topic on its head.
Sorry.
Lindsay Hooper.
I get a gold star this week for not changing the topic. One of my favourite finds.
You got yourself a fan there, Lindsay.
Great. One of my favourite finds for this one was Chris Waddle, because you don't get much bigger than a player that's... Yeah, a player that's played for England, had a great career at both Newcastle and Spurs, played out in Marseille as well, one of our good English exports abroad. But he came out of retirement twice to play in non-league football. Twice. So let's give you the first occasion. We're going back, rewinding the clock to the year 2000. Chris Waddle, a few years out of retirement, decides, actually, want to get those boots back, dust them off, not quite ready to give it up. So he goes and joins Worksop Town in the Northern Premier League, played for them for quite a little while. The second time he came out of retirement is a little bit poetic, because it is coming out of retirement for one appearance. But he was doing that at the age of 52, so hats off to him. He joined in 2013. He joined Hallam, who were playing... As a player.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say a groundsman, a coach.
No, no, no. He came out of retirement to play, put in one appearance for Hallam, but still 52 years old. I think that's pretty impressive.
It certainly is. Talking about impressive things, we are going to turn our eye to this game. It's not bad at all, actually. We've already seen a goal. Let's see what happens in the remainder of the first half. We're filming here at Dulwich Hamlet FC tonight, so in a few days' time, you may well be able to see a nice little montage of all the behind the scenes.
I have to say, I'm so excited because we have a drone. In fact, Hayley McQueen thought something was buzzing over her head. It was our drone, and we all gave it a wave. I hope it's picked it up.
I thought a light bulb was going to go above me on these giant floodlights and come crashing down upon us and create bad news.
Death by floodlight. I'm talking of buzzing. It's all buzzing in the WSL at the moment, as Sue Smith will explain.
Sue Smith's WSL Roundup, brought to you by Continental Tyres.
Hello everyone, here's my weekly roundup of women's football. There's been no WSL action the last few weeks, but the Continental Tyres Cup is up to the latter stages, so I'm going to give a roundup of that. And also, England ladies played their first European qualifier against Estonia on Tuesday. Okay, I'll start with the Continental Tyres Cup news, and we can see which teams are through to the semi-finals and who aren't. Liverpool, firstly, they played Bristol Academy. Liverpool going into this game on the back of successive defeats by Arsenal and Manchester City in the Super League. It was interesting for me to see how they performed, but they responded brilliantly with an excellent performance. They won the game 4-1, Natasha Dowie scoring all four goals. Not bad. Okay, Notts County, they played Reading. For the neutral, this would have been an excellent game to watch, but I'm sure for both managers and sets of players, it would have been an absolute nightmare. Notts County in the end, they came out 3-2 winners. Alex Greenwood scoring the winner in the 88th minute. Okay, next on to Birmingham. They played Chelsea. Both sides are at complete opposite ends of the table in the Super League, so most people would have predicted a Chelsea win. However, Joe Potter and Birmingham, they had a different idea. They defended really, really well as a team, and just a little bit of class from Joe Potter put a free kick into the top corner, which won them the game. The other Continental Tyres Cup game, Manchester City against Arsenal, was postponed as City are being charged with fielding an illegible player. We're awaiting a verdict on this, so we don't actually know what's happening at this moment in time. Okay, next on to the England qualifier. They played against Estonia. England had dramatically changed the squad from Canada due to injuries and Mark Sampson working with clubs to see who's performing well and who needs to be rested. So it was a completely different team, but it gives an opportunity for those players to take their chance. And that's exactly what they did. Okay, Estonia, they're the lowest ranked team in Group 7. But knowing their manager, Keith Bonus, who actually used to manage Charlton Athletic, I know that he would set his team up well and make sure that they'll fight for every single chance and every single opportunity. But they don't have the opportunities like the girls have in England. So it was really, really difficult for him and his team. The standout player for the game has to be Dan Carter, making her debut. She didn't just score one. She got a hat trick. So that's got to be what dreams are made of as a young child when you're growing up. You want to make your debut for England and it'd be fantastic to score. But to score three, absolutely amazing and really, really pleased for her. Izzy Christiansen also made her debut and scored. And just a quick mention to Jess Clark, who made her 50th appearance too. Game finished 8-0. Real convincing performance. And England, for me, just showed what strength in depth they have. And now it's going to be a difficult choice for Mark Sampson in his next qualifier, who he's going to pick, because those players that have come in have done really well. And England's next qualifier is going to be against Bosnia and Herzegovina on the 29th of November at Bristol. So make sure you get down there, get your tickets and support the girls. OK, that's all for this week. See you all very soon.
Follow us on Twitter at Offside Rule Pod and like our page on Facebook. Simply type in the Offside Rule We Get In. There's only one of us.
Half time here at the game between Dulwich Hamlet FC and Hampton and Richmond Borough. 2-2 is the score so far. We'll talk about that in just a moment. We must say on the back of Sue Smith, congratulations to England women, 8-0 against Estonia. A very resounding performance and great news for Dan Carter as well. Myself, Kate, Lindsay and Hayley here. Whilst we're on the topic of grassroots, and we're here today to support one of our local non-league clubs, but also with a nod to non-league day that's coming up in a few weeks' time. I know you were in Scotland last week, Hayley, doing a bit of grassroots there.
Yeah, and a team that Sir Alex Ferguson came from, Aberdeen, still putting back in the community. They actually won one of the main awards at the Scottish Grassroots Football Awards. I learned a lot about the kind of money that McDonald's are putting into that and that the Scottish FA are kind of contributing as well as the Scottish Premiership. Whilst it doesn't have as much money as the English Premier League, definitely making a difference north of the border as well, which is always good to see.
So as I said, 2-2 the score at half-time here. Hampton and Richmond Borough going up early doors. You would have just heard that one in the first section of this podcast. Ben Dulwich equalised and went 2-1 up, all within the space of 2 minutes, goals from Damian Scannell and Kevin James. Then conceded a penalty just before half-time, so 44 minutes. So it was 2-2. Quite a nice, lively game, actually, Lindsay, this one.
It's been really good. I think it was crucial, actually, that that Hampton and Richmond Borough managed to get that equaliser just before the break. It was a good time to score. They come out second half. Both teams got everything to play for now, so it should make it quite interesting for us.
Still the second half to digest. Let's go into topic two and have a quick chat about non-league football and around grassroots. As I've mentioned, non-league day coming up in a few weeks' time. And clubs do all sorts of things, don't they, to get punters in through the gate. Pay what you like is one example. I think they're doing that here at Dulwich. I want to broaden this discussion between ourselves, though, ladies, giving a couple of ingenious, ridiculous or worthy examples each, please, of a club supporting their local community, a charity, or maybe just trying to increase their gate. Any club, any league, I'm casting this wide open. Hayley, let's go to you.
Okay, well, I've gone for a completely different country and I've headed to Aussie Rules. I'm going down under, and it's to one of the biggest clubs there who are giving back to benefit smaller clubs. So Perth Glory FC, in partnership with more than 150 local football clubs around the state, launched this big, exciting initiative aimed at boosting the world game at grassroots level. Now, what they decided to do, under the plan, the Perth Glory give $5 cash back, that's right, okay, to local football clubs for every ticket purchased for the game between them and the Brisbane Flyers. So it was, they started this off to see how much money that they would raise and where it would go, and then continue this up and down the leagues and hope that other teams would then benefit for it. It was all done properly through Ticketmaster. The reward jumped to $10 for the respective club with every family package sold as well. So not only are you getting to go and watch great football at the top level, you know that your ticket is not going to help just the big clubs who already have the money and don't necessarily need the gate money, that it's kind of filtering back through and down to the smaller clubs, so you kind of have that link there. Very hard to get a personal close link when there are 150 clubs involved, but they're all absolutely delighted about it. I think it's a great idea, and it's something that's definitely benefiting the smaller clubs. You might think just $5 per ticket might not be spread far and wide. It is. It's going somewhere. They're keeping it up, and fingers crossed it works, and that might kind of filter through to some of the other leagues in other countries, and they can give back a little bit as well, instead of just leaving it to the organisations like your, you know, FAs and, you know, your leagues.
It's a bit like all the Champions League and Europa League clubs as well, giving a dollar from each of their opening fixtures to the refugee crisis. You know, clubs can do things. They certainly can. By the way, Aussie rules, one of the few sports where the shorts haven't moved on from the 1980s. They're absolutely tiny. Lindsay, what have you got for me?
When that change does happen in shorts, it'll go from one extreme to the other. It'll be Bermuda shorts that'll be next. Long johns, yeah. I'm going to talk about a Russian football team, Zenit St. Petersburg, because when they celebrated their 90th anniversary as a club, they decided to do 90 good deeds, which I thought was a really, really good initiative. I'll give you an example. I can't run through all 90, obviously, because we have another 45 minutes of football to get through, but a couple of examples. And AVB, Andre Villas-Boas was part of this because he was one of the players at the time. They used to go cleaning windows, fueling cars. The proceeds would go to an orphanage, purchasing computers so they could have a computer class, which I thought was one of the lovely examples on this 90 list of different things that the club did. So 90 good deeds, and I think we should spread that around the Premier League team, shouldn't we now?
What could we have them do?
We can draw up a list. That can be for another podcast.
Talking of Premier Leagues doing good things, Everton are widely recognised as a club who do an awful lot within the community. John Stones has been singled out as one of the most active members of Everton when it comes to player engagement within the community. And I love some of the stuff that he's been up to. It's not just taking Easter eggs around to the local hospital and children's wards. It's student radio, Lindsay Huber, something very, very dear to your heart.
Yeah. That's not charity, that's just good fun.
Well, he's been giving his time to it. Apparently, he takes a genuine interest in everyone he meets. So well done, John Stones, doing lots there for Everton and the wider community. Here's a bit of an initiative from fans of a club who've come across desperate times, really, at their club, in desperate need of a striker. So what do? They try and rescue an ex-player who's been thrown out to the wilderness at Cardiff, Adam Lafondra. So fans of Bolton Wanderers decided to take to social media to raise 500 grand to help release Adam Lafondra from his contract at Cardiff and come back to the club where he made his name. A similar thing was done, actually, after Bobby Gould was fired as national coach of Wales. A group of fans decided to raise money so that the Welsh FA could attract a high name, a big name like Bobby Gould. Oh. Hayley.
I like that. I've just got a little final one, a little nod to AFC Wimbledon, who set up a street league academy. Now, we know what happened with Wimbledon and MK Dons and how things are split and football's been taken away from the area. Well, they're giving back and making sure that kids come to the club and are coached by the coaches and learning valuable skills. And not just that, with the Street League, the national charity that provides a structured football and educational programme designed to help young people to gain actual qualifications as well as employment prospects. So not only are they learning to be coached, they'll sort of help them with things to do with their CV and how to get jobs, etc. We know that the Homeless World Cup, of course, gives a little back, but this also helps sort of a lot of disadvantaged people as well who might not be able to afford to be coached or get training of that sort. So the academy runs for 8 weeks throughout the summer and was recruiting in spring summer, and they had about 10 times the amount of people that they thought were going to get involved, and they managed to give a little bit back there at AFC Wimbledon. So well done to them, and it was, they volunteered their time.
I'm aware that they're just about to kick off for the second half. We'll hear that in the background in just a moment. So let's just wrap up and let everyone enjoy the football. Zinedine Zidane, he helped set up a match against poverty to help raise money for the United Nations Development Programme. I'm going to leave you with that one. There you are.
We're going to head off so we don't interrupt any of the fans around us watching the second half.
Breaking news, everyone. Stand by your beds. This is Jim White. You can download the Offside Rule podcast this very day.
Full time here at the game between Dulwich Hamlet FC and Hampton and Richmond Borough, and we just settled into the bar for a quick half and some post-match analysis. And what happened? The fire alarm went off and we've been turfed out. We were hoping to grab a player too, weren't we, Lindsay?
We were, and I'm slightly distracted because have you seen this man has got a jacket that lights up in the dark?
And very useful it is too, because all the lights have gone off here at Dulwich Hamlet as we've been turfed out of the stadium.
I'm sure someone invented that on Dragon's Den once, you know.
One up on the rest of us. So what happened in that second half? Well, Hampton and Richmond Borough went 3-2 up on 50 minutes. Richard Bouquet getting the goal there. An ex-QPR player, by the way, ties in very nicely to those players who've played for big clubs and are now playing in the non-league. But Callum Willock with the equaliser, 3-3 between Dulwich Hamlet and Hampton and Richmond. And that's how the game finished. It was an entertaining game, six goals.
I think a fair result overall, really. It was Dulwich Hamlet that were on top towards the end of that game. But overall, I think a draw was fair.
We were really trying to will on the winning goal for Dulwich Hamlet, weren't we? If you can't tell, Lindsay's freezing. It's a bit nippy out here. We are still nursing our half a lager out here.
No, I've drank mine.
Good work, Hoops, good work. We're going to sign off now. We've had a great day today, and the drone that we've been using has caused quite a stir. Our drone op has been approached by several members of the crowd here asking what on earth it was all about.
There was an actual song about the drone as well, which was great. We're Dulwich Hamlet and we've got a drone.
Yes.
But a status symbol, you see, for Dulwich Hamlet fans. I thought that they were beyond status symbols, but they still like a drone.
Go and see the footage, though, of the said drone. It will be on the Offside Rule TV very soon. We're doing more on our YouTube channel over forthcoming weeks, so keep an eye on that.
We'll be back next week with Mina. Just a reminder that you can check us out on offsiderulepodcast.com. Give us a follow at Offside Rule Pod, that YouTube channel, the Offside Rule TV. And you can also give us a like, too, on Facebook, the Offside Rule. iTunes and Audio Boom is where you can download us. So we're going to bid you farewell from Dulwich Hamlet FC and see you next week.
Yes! Oh, yes! The Offside Rule, We Get It, is brought to you by Continental Tires.